today we begin a short series, but I hope that its shortness does not detract from the focus and the purpose. This is a series that will revolve around how we find freedom from some addictive behaviors and dysfunctional, compulsive behaviors and various things that we have in our lives that just shouldn't be there. This series grows out of a growing conviction on my part that Jesus, the return of Jesus, is sooner than what we think. I think of what Paul says in Romans 13, that the time is far spent and the night is gone, and the return of Christ, you know, our hope is on the horizon. And so he says, this is not a time to be giving ourselves over to certain desires and following out with those desires in our lives. The reality is that Jesus is coming, and many of us just are not ready for that return, His return. And that reason why we are not ready is because there are things in our lives that just should not be there. And so, over the next few weeks, I want to touch on a few of those things that are keeping us from spiritual passion, spiritual focus, and seeing what God can do in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I take a moment to just thank you again for all that's already taken place in this service today. And now we come to your open word, just a simple text, but a powerful passage that speaks to what you have already done for us and how you are calling us to a level of freedom in you that bypasses a whole lot of things that are in our lives today. And we pray that we will see more about ourselves and what you have in store for us than we ever imagined. And we pray for the outpouring of your Spirit, the deep moving of your Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most compelling books that I have ever read in my life is this book, I Will Die Free. It's about Humberto Noble Alexander. And it was March of 1962. This young Seventh-day Adventist pastor had just preached a sermon on original sin. And after he left church, he was headed for home, and he was ambushed on the way home, and he was arrested, and he was drug in to the security forces of Fidel Castro in Cuba, and he was grilled and challenged about what he was teaching. And he was accused of trying to put a plot together to assassinate Fidel Castro. His security officers had listened to his sermon, and they saw in the discussion of Lucifer's struggle against God in heaven as a veiled discussion of Castro and undoing of Castro. And so this young pastor then spent 22 years of his life in one of the most inhumane and brutal prison systems on this planet. And during those 22 years, his wife left him and married a communist leader. During those 22 years, he was tortured. He was kept up and denied sleep. He was given maggot-infested food. He was made to labor to the limits of human endurance. He was tortured and beaten because of his Christian beliefs as a whole. Tortured and beaten because of his distinctive beliefs as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, wanting to keep the Sabbath, refusing to work on Sabbath in the prison system. And for other lifestyle issues in his beliefs and his journey as a Christian. And during this time, he He determined that the cross of Jesus Christ would triumph in the, within those concrete walls of this living hell. And so he became known as the prison pastor. And he started underground churches right there in the prisons. And as he was moved from prison to prison, he would start more churches. And individuals around him, some also Seventh-day Adventists and some who were not Seventh-day Adventists, came to have endurance and strength to resist and strength to stand amidst the hell in which they were living in. What carried him was his indomitable will and also his desire to be faithful to the God of heaven no matter what he would experience. But also there was this thought that kept registering in his mind over and over and over. I will die free. He fully expected that he was going to die in this prison. He lost weight. He was just skin and bones. The food he was receiving was nothing. And he fully expected to die of the shock treatments, of the beatings, you name it. But in his heart, he kept saying, I will die free. I'm going to die, but I'm going to die free. There is no way that they are going to force me to be who I don't want to be. They're not going to force me to be different than what Jesus wants me to be. Now, during his incarceration, there was an American who was also in prison with him. And that American prisoner eventually got out. And when he returned to the States, he remembered Noble Alexander. And he, along with other Christian groups, worked hard to get Noble out. So in 1984, he was released and brought to the United States. And then he became an Adventist pastor in the Northeast. And for about 15 years, he served there. And the first sermon that he preached in an Adventist church after his incarceration was a sermon on original sin. What is interesting to me, however, is that Noble Alexander learned that it was easier to be faithful to Jesus in the inhumane, brutal prison system of Cuba than it was to be faithful to Jesus while living here in the United States. An environment where there was all kinds of alluring things that would lead to compromise and fleshly bondage, and where he was free to do whatever he wanted to do. It's a fact. When the screws are tightened and you are under the restraint of some other person or some system, all right? When the screws are tight and you have no freedom and you are being brutalized, there is something in the human spirit that rises up and says, I'm going to be free anyway. I'm going to die, I will die free. But when things are easy and we can determine our own life, it's in those moments that it's very hard to say, I will live free. There's a difference. And he came to experience that reality in his life. And so we come to this very profound verse, middle of the book of Galatians. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, Galatians is a book of liberation. Galatians, more than any other New Testament book, grabs legalism by the throat, grabs bondage to sin by the throat, and challenges it more like than any other New Testament book. Then perhaps maybe Romans chapter 7 and 8, where the Apostle Paul is talking about his struggles with sin and legalism. But here Paul is responding to some concerns or some issues where some individuals were saying, hey, we're saved by grace plus works. And the Apostle Paul is saying, oh, no, that's not how it is. There's only one way in which we're saved, and that is by grace. We're saved by grace alone. So he hits it head on. We're saved by grace alone. And so here in this chapter, in this book, the book of Galatians, he begins talking about the power of grace, the experience of grace, and he begins talking about the liberating power of grace. And how any other perspective of religion and life is actually enslaving. And so our journey today, in the eyes of the Apostle Paul, when he met these individuals that were pressing legalism, he's not only arguing legalism, but he's arguing the enslavement to sin. Notice what he says here in Galatians 5, verses 19, just a few verses away from our text. You can read it in your own translation, your own Bible if you want to, or read it here on the screen. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is one of those texts that make it very clear that certain elements in our life can make it difficult for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. Although we're saved by grace, and it's a free gift of God that enables us to step into eternity, and where we can have the full assurance of salvation, the presence of certain things in our lives begins challenging us with the reality of whether or not we are really in Christ or not. Now, what I want us to see here in this passage, a couple verses or words that I've put in yellow, those who practice such things. That little phrase lets us know that this list that Paul has given us is not just some random list, but this list has to do with a pattern of life. This list has to do with lifestyle. This list has to do with habits that hurt. This list has to do with things that are enslaving us. This list has to do with things that some of us have in our lives that we wish were not there, but are still there. And they are dragging us down. They're sapping our spiritual energy. They're taking our focus off of Jesus. They're taking our focus away from following Christ. And if you look at that list very carefully, Paul includes sexuality. He includes aspects of religion and how we relate to religion. He includes interpersonal relationships, how we relate among one another. He includes drinking, mood-altering substances, and we could include diet in that perspective. There is the question of entertainment, what one does for joy and R&R in life. There are feelings, thoughts, emotional responses like, outbursts of anger and so forth, envy. There's values and priorities. You step back at that list, right? Those who practice such things. There you have, again, just look at that list real quick, right? See the things that are there, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions. And these are hurtful habits. These are things that cause the human heart to be dysfunctional. These are the things that grip us in such a way that we are not really free to be what Jesus has freed us to be. But Jesus has died for us to become. And that's why the Apostle Paul will say in verse 13, just a couple verses away, you were called to freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. You were called to be free. free from all these things. The question is, are we there? So Paul is talking about the liberating power of the gospel. He's not just arguing about legalism and against legalism in the book of Galatians. He's talking about the liberating power of the gospel. That when we understand the gospel, when we experience the gospel, it will radically change us. And it will radically free us in ways that we never imagined. Living free is something that every human heart yearns for. Every one of us wants to be free. And freedom means different things for different people. We picked that up in the children's story earlier here. For some, sending kids back to school is freedom. For the kids going back to school is bondage. Freedom, the quest for freedom is written across the face of human history. And every one of us have struggled for that in one way or another. If we are under some social or political restraint, or the restraint of parents, or the restraint of a church, or a restraint of a list of rules, if we see ourselves in that perspective, then freedom means to get out from underneath that restraint. Freedom means the ability to choose between different options and to have independence and to be self-determining. For some, freedom revolves around some emotional things and some getting free of the wounds of the past that kind of grip and paralyze a person because of some experience that there's been in the past. If I could only be free of that, I could be really free. For some, freedom has to do with gaining the ascendancy over some power that's in their life that is gripping them, that's yanking them down. Some vice, some habit, something that they feel is defiling or destroying their bodies, destroying their minds, destroying relationships. Some attitude they have, but they don't know how to change that attitude. They don't know how to change their heart. Living free is something every human heart yearns for. And so the question that I share with you this morning, the question is, what do you want to be free from? What do you need to be free from? Just looking at that list that was put up there just a few moments ago, did you identify with anything on that list? Paul's list or my interpretation of that list? Imagine all the things that you wish to be free of and how radically different your life could be or would be if you were free from those attitudes or those behaviors or those habits. What would you be free of? What would you wish that this passage of Scripture would speak to you about, that it was for freedom that Christ set you free? How would you have Christ set you free? That's the question every one of us must ask. And we will be asking over the next few weeks. Now, some of you have some experience farming. I've had a little bit, just enough to know a few things. I know what a yearling is like who's born, you know, in the summer or towards the end of the summer. And that calf is cooped up in the barn all winter long because of the harsh winter weather. Now it's spring. All that the calf has known throughout their life has been the barnyard or their pen. And we all know what calves are like, especially when the sun is out and it's a crisp day. they run around, they romp, and they kick their rear ends up, and they're just frolicking around and around in circles, and they chase each other and jump each other around. Well, imagine it's spring, and now the gate is open, the gate to the barnyard. That gate is no longer there. It's open. It's wide open. What do those calves do? Well, they run round and round and round in the barnyard, and they run right up to that gate, or where that gate was, and they just come to a screeching halt. And then they kick their rear end up, and they run around again. And they run around and around and around, and they come to the gate, a screeching halt, where that gate was. And they'll do that a couple times, and then they'll come back, and then they'll change their strategy. They'll kind of slowly inch up, and they'll look. They don't see a gate, but they don't know what a gate is. They see beyond, but they're really not sure what they're seeing. And they look. And then they'll jerk back, and they'll jump around some more. It'll take hours sometimes for those calves to finally get through the gate. Am I right? That's a fact. They can't imagine freedom. They can't imagine anything different than that pen that they've been in all their life. They can't imagine any other reality. And so in some respects, it's safer for them to stay within that box until they learn something different. And that's how it is with us as human beings. Sometimes we cannot imagine anything different than what our experience has been. Our failures, our slavery, our failures, our dysfunction, that's all we can imagine. And when that gate is removed, and Scripture tells us that it was for freedom that Christ set us free, and that gate is removed, we cannot fathom what's on the other side of that experience. For some of us, it's actually more comfortable. There's more security in staying within that dysfunctional, hurtful habit box. Am I right? And some of us not only cannot imagine what that freedom is, some of us, because of our own fleshly nature, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We not only cannot imagine anything different, but we don't want anything different. We really don't want anything different. And so we stay in that circle. And all that Jesus has died for us, and all that Jesus provides for us, is of no effect. And we remain on ready for His return. Because we've not allowed His freedom to be experienced in our lives. And so that brings me to another section of this chapter in Galatians 5. Focusing on this conflict within, the most articulate passage of the conflict of the Christian that you can find in the New Testament, except for Paul's discussion in Romans chapter 7 and 8, where he is saying that there's a principle within me that wants to do the will of God, and then there's a principle within me that resists that. And so he says, I want to do the will of God, but I find up myself doing something exactly the opposite. And so he cries out, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Oh, wretched man that I am. But here Paul puts it this way, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. On the one hand, what you want to do from your fleshly side, you can't do because the Spirit is there arguing. And on the other hand, you want to follow the Spirit and the flesh is arguing. And so there's a battle that is waging on deep down inside, and it's a fierce battle, and it's a compelling battle, and it's an unending battle. And because that battle keeps going on and on and on, we can become discouraged, disheartened. Anybody who claims Jesus as Savior, anybody who claims to be a follower of Christ, a child of God, will recognize that this is a reality within their own heart. The battle within. And it points to the reality of our flesh. Who we really are, as opposed to the working principle of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And how much we allow what we really want to keep the Holy Spirit and what God really wants from being accomplished in our lives. And so it presses the question of choice, moral choice. And will. We'll talk about that next Sabbath. Where our will and where our choice comes into the whole matter. We cannot change our own hearts. We do not have that power to do that. But we can will. And we can choose. And what God does with our will and what God does with our choice is profound. And it's awesome. But it comes down to that willing and that choice. Freedom always has movement. Freedom takes you somewhere. Freedom is not static. When you are free, you do things with that freedom. And here in Galatians, Paul is arguing about freedom that leads to legalism, which in reality is no freedom, and a freedom that leads to license, which in reality is no freedom. He talks about an opportunity of the flesh or a yoke of slavery, the fact that we are called to freedom. And the fact of the matter is, license. When we feel that we can do whatever we want to do, and we head down that path of doing whatever we want to do, in reality we are enslaved. Legalism is bondage. And some of us here know what that bondage is. We're defeated by legalism. We're discouraged by legalism. We have no assurance of the return of salvation because of legalism. And the rules and the regulations so orchestrate our lives that we have no peace. We have no joy. We're like some call Sadventists. And then there are some of us that are just doing what we desire. And what we desire becomes a slavery, enslavement, fleshly and bondage. Some of these things that we desire to do, we can no longer stop doing them. Even when we intuit deep down inside that they are keeping us from Jesus, they're keeping us from eternal life. The answer to legalism is the death of Jesus Christ, which sets us free, the blood of Christ. And the answer to license is the Holy Spirit and the ability of the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is powerful? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit has the ability to control your life and help you control your life? That's what this is all about. The freedom in Christ and the power that comes in that. And as we journey together in this series, these are some of the issues that are going to be packed together. We're going to learn what it means to be free from sin, guilt, and shame. What it means to be free from legalism. What it means to be free from moral defilement. We live in a world where sexuality and immorality just abounds. How do you keep your mind? How do you keep your heart? How do you keep yourself untainted by these things? And then there is the freedom of intemperance. All the ways in which we as a Seventh-day Adventist community have been educated in terms of caring for our bodies. How to be free, how to be temperate. And then those spiritually debilitating pursuits. All those things that take our time and take our energy and distract us and absorb us. And there's a long list of those things in our contemporary world. Things that may be right and are right in themselves, and some things that are just plain not good at all. But our attraction to them, our participation in those things, sap our spiritual interests. Suck the spiritual life out. Lead us to the place where we don't know what to pray about because we don't have anything in our minds that's deeply spiritual. The Apostle Paul ends the book of Galatians, and I will be ending here soon. He ends the book of Galatians saying that I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. This is significant because in the book of Galatians and throughout the writings of Paul, Paul continually refers to himself as the bond servant or the bond slave of Jesus Christ. In a culture, in a generation where 60% of the people in the Greco-Roman world were slaves, a common talk among one another was, whose slave are you? Well, what's your master like? How does your master treat you? Why do you obey him? Why aren't you rebelling? Why don't you run away? And in that environment, the Apostle Paul chooses terminology of enslavement. And he identifies himself right off at the beginning. Because he knows it's part of the discussion. He knows it's part of the dynamics of culture in his day. He sets it off right off the bat where he is. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. That's who I obey. That's who I follow. That is who I serve. And so it raises the reality that we are to be slaves of Christ rather than to be slaves to habits that hurt. There is no real freedom in life. But the freedom, but the slavery of Christ is a freedom that releases us from all sorts of things that destroy our minds, destroy our marriages, destroy our families, destroy our churches, destroy our hope, destroy our spiritual passion. But Jesus is there to empower us. And when we are baptized, when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, we are born into a freedom. But that freedom means that we are living slaves. There is a price to freedom. That price to freedom comes at the loss, the death of someone else, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul will say, I carry about in my body the brand marks of Christ. And anybody that's been around cattle and has branded, done any branding, it's a smelly business. It's a dirty business. The calf is bawling and that flesh is singeing. And when that calf gets up and runs away, he belongs to whoever branded him. The Apostle Paul says, I carry in my body the brand marks of Jesus. The reality is whenever we break loose from that barnyard and out into the freedom of Jesus Christ, we will meet things and we will experience things as well as the criticism of people around us that will leave its mark on our character and on our life. But nevertheless, it's one of freedom. And as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. And if you are one of those calves who's been cooped up in the barn and all you can imagine is the dysfunction and the round of failures and the habits that hurt in your life, and you're standing before that open gate, peering through, trying to imagine, and hear these words of Jesus long ago. He says, if the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. And as we journey together, may we experience that freedom in Jesus. And I pray that freedom for your joy, and for your victory, and your assurance in Christ Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.